أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه ومن سن بسنته ودعا بدعوته لا يوم يبعثون. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we are once again welcoming you our usual program, Talk on Islam or Talk About Islam. After thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I send the peace and blessing to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his entire family and the companions and the people who are following this path from until the day of judgment. Alhamdulillah, we came back our usual sitting. Sheikh Muhammad, alhamdulillah, is busy, but Sheikh Hamidjet is with us tonight. Again, our usual sitting. Before we start what we are on tonight, I will let Sheikh Hamme to just greet the greater listeners of this program. Sheikh Hamme, falyatafaddal mashkura.
Shukran barakallahu fihi ya akhi Bashir. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ittaba' bihudahum ila yawmiddin. Assalamu alaikum with the greetings of Islam, brothers and sisters out there, all the listeners out there.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
We solicit the prayers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his blessings upon everybody, especially upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest, one of the greatest or the greatest prophet and messenger, who is a blessing to all creation. And you are welcome on board.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Hamme Jete, for that blessed greeting. Sheikh Hamme, feel quiet. Remember with me, last week, we have reached, because this was quite a long journey, where do we started from? But last week, we stopped on the point, try to treat a problem of the home swell, especially this continent, but to be more precise, in the home. I did put a question to you: what have really made us to be in this situation? We are not saying we are in a desperate situation, but I will not say as well we are in as much progressive situation, in the sense we, this history of the civilization we have, this whole situation turned upside down. It has been a great and a very painful setback for us. At any setback, one need to sit down and ponder and start getting himself together, pull himself together and try to discover his past glory. Before we reach to this past glory, one need to realize he has a problem. How do we treat the problem? And then how did we get into this situation in the first place? Because that was my question last week. So before any more time I'm taking from you, I think that is my point.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu once more again ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya ayuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Well, thank you brother Bashir, Sheikh Bashir, for that very, 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 very important but challenging question. You see, we've been trading all along, but I would rather define it trading on an unbeaten track of college education. That simply means the track we've been trading on can never be acquired from institutional education.
Okay.
It is off. It is off completely of the beaten track of college or university education. It is a process that I would rather call self-review,
okay,
self-understanding, self-rectification, and self-redefining. You know, redefining who you are,
okay,
within the scheme of things, in the greater creation.
Okay,
you know who you are. In the first place, we are human beings.
Okay,
and from the Islamic perspective, we fully know that, and we believe with a very strong, unswerving conviction that we are here assigned to do something. Understand? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His encompassing infinite wisdom, you know, He created us knowing fully well that we've been endowed with infinite within the limits of this corporeal world. Infinite with powers, intellectual powers, to build and to destroy. This is why when we ponder over some of the verses in the Holy Quran and some of the authentic sayings or practice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, it is just mind boggling in the sense that you paralyze, you see everything clear, you see all the answers to all the problems, all the confusions that apparently is displayed before you as a Muslim. You see everything clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma bi qawmi hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. We know that this world is created and based on physical laws. Physical laws in the sense that, you see, one thing is, I always say is, and I will reiterate it to the end of time. He who likes it, accept it. He who dislikes it, okay, you can take a challenge. This is what you don't have, you can give.
What you don't have?
You can give.
Okay.
You understand? There is a limit for everything. وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. We are human beings. We are limited in space and time. Whatever we do, we think, we reflect on, we produce, is limited in time and space. Then we have to go to the Holy Quran with that infinite answers to all the questions, to all the myriads of questions that we are now, I mean, confronting, creating a break on our evolution, on our speedy and steady evolution to progressive levels. We have to go there to find the answer. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma bi qawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. This is simply the logo. This is the caption. This is the title of your worldview. Well, you are created, endowed with everything. In fact, this is why whatever, what do you call it, gadget, whatever gadget, whatever machine man is making, manufacturing, is simply a transformation of his own understanding of himself into that machine. He is replicating his own self in that machine. Anything, even chairs,
whatever man makes,
man is doing, man is simply replicating himself
to any of his surroundings.
Exactly, anything that he's making, because he's not a creator, he's a maker, given the endowed with that intelligence, endowed with that mean, endowed with everything that is, I mean, necessary as a prerequisite, as a wherewithal for him to just march on accordingly. Accordingly, because here when we say accordingly, emphatically, it means everything he is doing is actually primarily and principally based on the permission and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from that Islamic perspective, let me just give, Inna Allah la yughayyir ma bi qawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. You know, my worldview, it's very unfortunate. Well, I'm not going to take Western technological sophistication as a criteria to measure my own progress and advancement. It is an error that most of us fall into, and it is the most blatant, the most backward, intellectually, morally, socially, politically, economically, and religiously, to use another man's yardstick to measure your own progress. This is the problem.
It can be consequential.
In fact, this is the main problem why the third world, so-called third world, but morally not a third world, we call it second to.
It's a labeling.
It's exactly. It is stereotyping. I mean, that name, third world, first has been world, ringing in your brain, has been knocking your brain like radiation, like electrons in the radiatory process. To an extent, you become a dead person. You accept that reality, an unreal reality, an unexisting reality, as a third world person. So here is the problem. The Quran tells you inna Allah la yughayyir, subhanallah. Mm-hmm. You see the beauty of this language, mm-hmm, and the divine nature of this message, mm-hmm, and the importance of this importation, mm-hmm, for the Islamic Ummah in particular, mm-hmm, and for mankind in general. Mm-hmm. La yughayyir in Arabic, la, we know it negatives a verb.
Indeed.
But here la yughayyir, the verb is in a continuous tense form, mm-hmm, the mood is, mm-hmm, a continuous tense, mm-hmm, which is an adverb, oh sorry, an infinitive verb. Form of the verb, mm-hmm, la yughayyir, ghayyara, yughayyiru, mm-hmm, taghyiran, mm-hmm, a process continuous,
it is,
which is devoid of time and space. Inna Allah la yughayyir, well he is negative, mm-hmm, ma bi qawmin, here ma, mm-hmm, in Arabic it is a pronoun used, mm-hmm, for anything that is not intelligent in terms of man's understanding, mm-hmm, of intelligence and unintelligence. Mm-hmm. So it's used except within a context whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm, is demonstrating his power, mm-hmm, or he is pointing to a very, very big blessing, mm-hmm, that he has installed in that phenomena, then the Quran would say ma. An example is fankihu ma taba lakum minan nisa.
Is he drawing attention?
Attention. La yughayyiru ma, whatever, bi qawmin. Uh-huh. In fact, he could have said, uh-huh, la yughayyiru, uh-huh, ma ala qawmin. Uh-huh. By didn't. Using another proposition called, uh-huh, a preposition called ala, uh-huh, upon, uh-huh, but instead
bi,
with. Uh-huh. And this with is an internalizing, uh-huh, it is an empathizing factor. Mm-hmm. It is something that is within. Mm-hmm. You change your within, then your outside is changed.
So he's not talking about external view.
No. Absolutely no. Because the letter, this very letter, B in Arabic, I can even say it's one of the most instrumental, mm-hmm, the most easily, in fact, most of the time, misunderstood article. Mm-hmm. Because here, B, mm-hmm, which means,
with,
madi qawmi. Mm-hmm. And look at it. He didn't say, he is not saying ma bi fardin, mm-hmm, or ma bi shakhsin, mm-hmm, or ma bi insanin. Subhanallah. There must be a collective, there must be a progressive, a conscious collective transformation of outlook for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless that nation with a progressive outlook of the world.
That was the point I was going to read. This qawmin is pointing nations.
In a qawmin mean qawm in Arabic, actually the original. Exactly. In fact, when we philologically, mm-hmm, you know, philology means, mm-hmm, language, mm-hmm, or luga. Mm-hmm. Because when we look at the philology of this mm-hmm, this term, mm-hmm, that is qawm, it means it's from kama, akama, mm-hmm, akamatan. Mm-hmm. Because it is a last resort, mm-hmm, to where you bounce back whenever you are confronted with a problem. Mm-hmm. You go back to your qawm, mm-hmm, for them to give you assistance and support. So when we say qawm, mm-hmm, here the Quran is telling us that a community should be cohesive, mm-hmm, should be a community based on brotherhood, mm-hmm, should be a community ready to assist each other, mm-hmm, a community, mm-hmm, to enjoy righteousness and forbid evil, a community that understand what they are, or rather who they are, mm-hmm, why they are, and where they are going. If this happens, mm-hmm, that community la yughayyir ma bi qawmin. Hatta in Arabic, another very interesting factor, mm-hmm, or rather an article. Mm-hmm. Hatta is it defines an extension of time.
Hatta.
Well, this is why it is not contradictory to ila, which means towards or do. Mm-hmm. But hatta tells you something more broad. More wide, mm-hmm, it tells you hatta
distant
until, because knowing fully well he is the creator, mm-hmm, that our level of evolution, mm-hmm, our speed of evolution, mm-hmm, our levels of evolution, mm-hmm, our employment of the physical, mental, psychological powers, mm-hmm, that are embedded in every being, mm-hmm, the exploitation would not be at the same level. So hatta is appropriate here. Mm-hmm. Hatta extension of time, mm-hmm, but differently. An example is, mm-hmm, well, he says hatta matla'il fajr. Until the dawn, mm-hmm, of the fajr. Because in the world we know that on geographically, mm-hmm, not everywhere, not the whole world, we have fajr at the same time.
No.
So hatta is here denoting that things happen, but they don't happen concurrently. there is a space, there is a level of difference between the opponents. Hatta yughayyir, knowing full well there is an evolution, a progression of evolution psychologically. Well, somebody might be tempted or misunderstood what I mean by evolution. Evolution simply means metamorphosis from a lower to a higher level, not the Darwinian, the Darwinian concept. Misconceive, and I mean, it is absolutely an erroneous misconceived concept of evolution as presented by Darwin. That is debunked by science itself, and it is completely bulldozed by the Quran. So what we mean here is hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim, gradually, graduation of progression. But look, inna Allah, that qawm should be well conscious that there is a Lord, there is a law, there is a source of that law, and it's called Allah.
That's where the command came from.
Exactly. Well, somebody would say, because you know we have a lot of these quack doctors around, somebody would say, look man, you are saying Allah at the beginning of the verse, but is it, why is it that Western civilization develops without Allah at the beginning of their verse? This is a problem.
But how, you know, how did they get there?
Exactly. The problem is some people, you know, some people, I think, well, I don't know. I'm not blaming anybody. But one of the disease, pathological problems we have in the third world, particularly the Gambia, specifically in the Muslim community, is our inability to digest. And secondly, to redigest. And thirdly, to regurgitate. And fourthly, to bring something tangible out of the process of thinking. You hear the superficial, you accept it.
Without question.
Without any analytical or critical, you don't subject whatever you hear. People have become so much complacent that they don't subject anything critically and analytically. They just accept things at face value.
Would I call that will be mental laziness?
Well, I would rather say mental asphyxiation. Oxygen is no more in the brains to allow proper blood circulation. So the brain is asphyxiated. It lacks the necessary, fuel, that's oxygen, you know, to operate it, to make it functional. So in fact, it is not an insult, but it is self-criticism. And when you criticize yourself, accepting your errors is another virtue added onto your fairness. Anybody who rejects criticism is a dead person. Because you can't know the truth. You can't know that you are right or wrong, except you subject yourself to criticism. This is why Rasulullah, one of the most, outstanding attributes of Muhammad was he was a person who actually yearned for consultation in whatever he is doing. And when you give him an idea, he accepts it if that idea is valid in worldly matters, not relating to the revelation.
The worldly affairs.
Worldly affairs. You understand? So here we're talking about something very important. Hatta yughayyiru. Somebody would say, okay, the Western world. But who are you sitting there telling me that those Western people, they don't accept or they don't recognize or they don't believe in the existence of a greater being called Allah? You call him Allah. They call him a different name. Even if they call him a Scientologist, that Scientologist obviously at the end of the day leads to the existence of a creator. Everything points to the existence of the existence of Allah.
I think that was a dishonest way of what you call a try to depict.
This is it. That's the only thing. The names, the understanding, in fact, the philosophy, everything is different. But look, man can never devoid, can never detach himself from accepting and from recognizing the existence of something that created him. It is natural.
No matter what.
No matter who you are. In fact, whatever you're saying, it is either through ignorance, or it is through blind social imitation, or it's through deception, or it's through misinformation, underinformation, and uninformation.
Or self-denial.
This is it. The self-denial, in fact, is a good thing here. In fact, compared to self-denial, I will choose self-denial. Because you deny yourself of something that is real. Because
when, if I should say... You know inside inwardly.
Exactly. If I say I'm not real, and I'm talking, I'm speaking, I'm eating, I'm walking, I'm sleeping, but yet I'm saying I'm not real. Well, I think better call me a madman than... an emulative person, self-denial.
It is.
So here, uh-huh. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim.
Mm-hmm.
This is ma. In fact, whatever is within them,
mm-hmm.
that is, I mean, they are psychological, they are mental, they are inner power. In fact, all powers in man or mm-hmm. inside man
mm-hmm.
were instrumental in defining, in demonstrating, in leading him to a proper worldview.
Mm-hmm.
But the most, mm-hmm. the most decisive is the mm-hmm. spiritual force in man.
The most decisive
is the spiritual force.
I think all this presentation you make,
yeah.
that is the real point I am going to ask.
Okay.
You have given a foundation and the tools to start remedizing immediate problem. Because my question, what went wrong with us?
Yeah.
You bring about how to treat, because you've been talking about what went wrong since last week.
Yeah.
But how to treat this problem? You bring the ayah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin
hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. In fact, still we have still a long way, I mean, to finish with this ayah.
Okay.
In fact, when we say hatta, this article, because we have to just put everything, lay everything bare in pieces before the people,
mm-hmm.
for them to appreciate the beauty,
uh-huh.
and the, I mean, what they call it, the superfluity of information in this verse. Hatta yughayyiru. Well, here we have a process. Yughayyiru, not yughayyir.
Mm-hmm.
This is why a single person does not write the history of a nation. The history of a nation
mm-hmm.
is written by the majority of the people. Even if it is one person embodying the aspiration of an entire nation,
mm-hmm.
it is that aspiration that motivates that individual to move and write the history of that nation.
But so, it cannot be monopolized.
No, it can never be monopolized. Because an individual, I mean, vis-a-vis to a collective, I mean, a mass of people, it's impossible for him to withstand it. An individual uses the group to achieve his goals.
Okay.
And the group is always after the or behind the individual if they realize convincingly that their interest lies there with what that individual is calling to.
So
this is why an example is
mm-hmm.
when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called, was commissioned to relay the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Meccans,
mm-hmm.
the first reaction was very brutal, was very tortuous,
mm-hmm.
was very, I mean, it was barbaric,
mm-hmm.
you know, but gradually, you know, the group, I mean, segment of the society started realizing the importance, the worldly and the next worldly interest in that message.
Mm-hmm.
So here, hatta yughayyiru,
mm-hmm.
there must be a collective, a group therapy,
mm-hmm.
a group session
mm-hmm.
to change the society, not an individual. This is why some people,
mm-hmm.
mostly, it's very unfortunate,
mm-hmm.
there is a misunderstanding,
mm-hmm.
a misconception,
mm-hmm.
of one of the most important hadiths of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says,
uh-huh.
at the head of every century, 100 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would call somebody to come up, to appear.
Mujaddid,
who would renew? Who would renew the understanding of this deen? Will not renew the deen, but renew the understanding of the deen. The application of the deen. Because understanding the deen simply means putting the deen correctly according to what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, prescribed for us. So here, some people understood man in the Arabic language. Man, it is a relative pronoun. Some most people understood it as one person. Subhanallah. And it is absolutely out of context. Because and man in Arabic is a relative pronoun,
mm-hmm.
as we have who in English,
mm-hmm.
but it can denote one or two or many people. This is why if you want to find
mm-hmm.
a renewal among the ummah, a society,
mm-hmm.
you are always waiting for an individual. This is the burden of proof, that I want everybody to prove that it is true that the man refers to a single person. And this ayah tells you that hatta yughayyiru, all of them, but an individual is going to be the
take
initiator,
take a lead.
Take a lead. That individual will transmit the message. A group. That group will transmit a message. Then a nation. This is what Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in the Quran. He tells Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the prophet would be a role model for you, the companion. You, the companions, would be shuhada, role models for the people coming. So there is always an individual initiative, but there is a collective carrying of the mantle. The mantle must be carried by the society. You don't sit there clapping for me, telling me, oh, that guy is nice, that guy is going saying good, that guy is brave. But no, you no, join me.
No consequences.
No consequences. Because when I die, my idea dies.
Die with you. That's very true.
But if you are part of me, if I die, you continue with the crusade, with the jihad.
It is.
We have a problem. We lost Nelson Mandela. His ideas are going to die. We lost Patrice Lumumba. His ideas are no more functioning. We lost many people. Kombosila of Gunjur. The ideas are no more. Subhanallah. We lost many people. Well, I'm not limiting myself to my people alone, but they say when you have a wound on your finger, you point it to yourself.
Not the others there.
If I'm going to attribute any virtue, I'm going to attribute it primarily to my people here. We have Khatab Bojan here. He's gone. The idea is dead. And this is how we are going. Any good man in the community will die with his idea. The only thing they would say, that's the grave of the great man. But the grave of the great man, the secret in the tomb, will never be used for development. We have a problem.
Why are we like that?
We are like that. In fact, to make it very short, I think, somebody would tell you, look, this is a predetermined arrangement of creation.
Qadar.
Qadar. They don't understand it. Well, they always associate things with Islam. You know, making Islam, just a fatalistic deen. Islam is not that.
I can see that it has a serious contradiction, one of the ayah.
Yeah. Najudaini, imma shakiran wa imma kafura.
He has been given a choice.
A choice is there, and you are given all the paraphernalia of executing, of benefiting from the choice you've taken. This is complete. This is the complete form of democracy, freedom, liberty, you name it. Because these terms, we must be very careful with them. Liberty is English or Roman or Greek in origin. In fact, I'm not satisfied. I don't feel very much comfortable when I use these terms, okay, because they have connotations more dangerous than the atomic bomb.
I remember one of the scholars says, when we are asked, do we have something similar to democracy, we tell them no. I always invoke this. Yeah. I tell them, we have something greater than democracy.
Yeah. We have Shura.
What we have is more greater than democracy.
In fact, you know, I want to tell you, in the same vein, I want to just touch on that, because I'm coming back to the point. Because when we say democracy, but we say Shura wa Amruhum Shura.
I know, sure.
You see, the beauty of Arabic is here. The beauty of Arabic is embedded in this beautiful language, in this divine wording. You see, when you say Shura, Sharara, it is the sparks that is thrown when you burn a wood. That sparks, every spark carry a fire. And all that sparks that carry a fire, they just ignite and they just enlighten and destroy the darkness. It means every Muslim, every able Muslim is a spark. That is sharara. It is the sparks that are spread whenever light is ignited. You see, so it's deeper, more encompassing, more defined, more truthful, and more in place than the word democracy. Demo the people, crazy the science or the ruling. It's not my language. This is why I am fighting 24 hours. They are accusing me of, you are not a democrat. I am trying to imitate their
mindset.
Their mindset. I will never be able to do it. That's impossible. Nobody should fool you. It's high time I and you, you and I, he and she, we and they, we should try to bring our mental, our psychological, divine, our spiritual forces together and try to create a new identity, a new Muslim progressive identity. Well, when you say an identity, well, I don't mean that there is a specific identity for a Muslim. There is a specific way of thinking for a Muslim. This is it. So when we say hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim, mm-hmm. except and until they change what is within themselves, their mindset, their mental arrangement, their psychological orientation, everything has to be changed. My brother, it's very interesting. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, a person like Omar, mm-hmm. a person of that profile, mm-hmm. that historical, sometimes you think it is fictional.
Mm-hmm. You hear it.
Yes. You hear it. Mm-hmm. When that person actually where he was, mm-hmm. and eventually what he came to be, mm-hmm. look at that transformation. That transformation was not external only. It was a complete overhauling of an entire complex, decadent system within man. Mm-hmm. Only Islam can do that. If you are properly Islamic, all your ideas, exactly. If you are properly Islamic, everything about you is correct. Everything about you is Islamic. But Islamic is simply, my brother, is simply to do the will of Allah. It's simply for you, you are the Lord on this earth. It's simply for you to just do righteous things, for you to develop this world. Mm-hmm. You are not here to be a consumer. You are here to be a producer and to eat less of what you produce.
We are imitating the consumer society.
That's it. In fact, everywhere. In fact, even waters now, we are no more even drinking our own waters.
It became consumerized.
Exactly. So I don't know whether at the end of the day, these waters can even make us so stupid. We'll not even be able to calculate 1 + 1.
It is because
so we have a problem.
I have to put something there to entice you to buy.
That's it, exactly. That is it. Every commodity in the world has a patent, has a patent, has a psychology, has an ideology independent of itself. Everything. So we have a problem. Mm-hmm. We need to just reflect deeply. Mm-hmm. But it's very simple. Mm-hmm. It is either you go back to your Africanity, mm-hmm. or you go back to your humanity, mm-hmm. or you go back to your West Africanity. Mm-hmm. But above all, go back to your Islamic personality, then to your human personality.
So the pyramid is in Islam.
That's exactly, because
everything falls below on it.
Below it, because when we say Islam, it is the column. Islam is the column, it is the container into which man was installed when he is created. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that everything in the beginning is created on nature. That is, he is naturally an Islam, because he responds voluntarily to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We sleep, we eat, we feel, because there are stimulus. There are stimulus that forces us to react. We are hungry, you go for food. You want to sleep, you go to the bed. These are voluntary reaction to stimulus.
You want something, you go for
it. You got it. So here, obviously, we are responding to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't go against. Exactly. You go against it, you die. Because you become sick, you die. Very simple. So these are some of the things. Islam is simply for you to be at ease and peace with yourself, with the other person, with the universe, with the sun, the stars, the earth, everything. Just maintain your equilibrium. Just be a balanced individual. Do what is right. Try to develop the world. Contribute positively in developing the world. Give people good ideas. Try to do your research. Try to do whatever you can in terms of creating a new reality that would benefit mankind. Mm-hmm. In that context, you don't have to make a division. Because there is a clear-cut division between you as a Muslim, mm-hmm. believing in the tenets of Islam, mm-hmm. and your dealings with the other guy there. When it comes to humanity and when it comes to the belief system, there is a line clearly defined between you. But humanity, there is a brotherhood called human brotherhood. Mm-hmm. There is an Islamic brotherhood, mm-hmm. and there is a continental, a regional, a social, a national, and a family brotherhood. Mm-hmm. All these are levels gradually coming from the human brotherhood, then to the Islamic brotherhood, going back.
So what you are saying, all this, what govern it justly, has to be Islam.
Exactly. Islam is the only answer. There is no answer at all. In fact, I think if we are not careful, sorry for just cutting you, because mm-hmm. I know you are very much in you, there is that eagerness in you for you to go into another question. Mm-hmm. But what I want to tell the whole listeners out there, mm-hmm. you see, Islam, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not, mm-hmm. whether you accept it or you reject it, mm-hmm. whether you understood it or you don't understand it, mm-hmm. Islam would overtake you. Islam is an overwhelming force, because Islam is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord, is the creator of this world, and you are just an atom in this world. So obviously it is either you accept this Islam voluntarily or involuntarily. This is why whatever is done voluntarily, the outcome is usually out of 99% okay, but involuntarily is never okay. So this is why Islam has no compulsion. Yeah, I mean, reasons are given to you, evidences are presented to you, and there is a big debate, argumentatively, for you to accept to see the reasons. But what is important for the Muslim is Islam is not simply an external manifestation or aspect. You don't externalize Islam in a sense when the internal aspect of you is completely in contradiction. You know, we must be very careful, and I tell everybody from this moment, beginning with myself, you know, any Muslim out there whose inner inclinations, you know, what he harbors internally is even semi, not even real, but semi contradictory to what you have externally, be very careful. You're going to suffer in this world. And you're gonna die a very nasty death. And tomorrow, Allah knows what is going to happen. So we must be very careful. We must be very careful, because it is high time we transform ourselves. We transform every person, every man, every community, every nation undergoes a process. And in the course of that steady growth, from nothing to something, they are bound to fall down. They are bound to make mistakes. They are bound to even revert back to what is called, not revert, but convert to paganism, to atheistic behavior. You know, everybody has a dark side in your history. There is always a hiatus. A pause in your process of development. So everybody has a dark side to his life. Okay, if that dark side is already forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will tell you, my brother out there, you know how you know it? You will never repeat that negative behavior again.
If I did something wrong
and I ask Allah to forgive me, the evidence that I am forgiven, my mind is completely detached from the commission of that act again.
I will never,
and secondly, people will never talk about it again.
Subhanallah.
You see the blessings? But we fooling ourselves.
You are just saying a very interesting
very
point.
Interesting.
The sign of the one repentance.
Exactly.
Acceptable.
Yeah.
The person will continuously try to
avoid
that
it.
Act.
Exactly. In fact, it will never strike his mind again. And what happened? The best of it, people will never mention it again. It will, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deleted
from their heart,
from their minds,
their memory.
An example is, subhanallah, you know, Khalid bin Walid, actually, radiallahu anhu. I mean, his performance in the battle of Uhud, I think you know about it. But whenever his name is mentioned, you see, radiallahu anhu, you don't think of what he caused to befall the Muslims. You think of his bravery,
what he did,
his Islamic power, his prowess, and his position, and what he did for Islam. So this is the evidence.
Subhanallah.
So let's try to change ourselves. Very simple.
You know, I think that is the very, very strong evidential foundation for one could use as a tools to come to the point of what the Quran mentioned, changing oneself.
Yeah.
It seemed to be, even the ayah is telling us, if the conditions are terrible upon you, you have a key to it. What you need to do, go back to the base, drawing board, to start changing yourself. You see, would any condition, bad condition, would remain here. But say, come, a common man on the street will have a very difficult to technically digest what I call these powerful vocabularies. But to my humble observation, started for myself, as you just mentioned, our problems here, consumerization is an element. But what even give access to consumerization? Want to become a consumer society? I think it must be what you call not natural inbuilt, but accepting, allowing this false inbuilt in the mind, what I call inferiority complex. Being like, want to be like. You know, anytime I want to be like someone, it is a self-defeating attitude, because I believe that person is better than I. That's why I want to be like that person. That tend to be a force which always we could not shut the gate to block that coming in, because anytime we want to clean the house, you see what we call the garbage became overflowed again. This is the mind. Because the minds became an engine of the body. Anytime the mind stored this garbage, it became filtering the behaviors. Is it inferiority? We have dealt quite strongly about the educational method, either the message gate through or not, but this has been really now progressively tackling now. But what do you say about the complex?
I think my brother, you see, you've said it all anyway. You've said everything that is supposed to be said, and you've put everything, I mean, in its right place. You see, we have a problem. We have an educational problem, because we are colonized people. Well, we got our independence. I would rather call it physical independence. And simply, when I say physical independence is, well, there is a structure in place. Well, the person, somebody was just occupying that place, and that person departed, well, not for good. Well, he departed. It was only the shadow that left, but his real self is still there.
His presence.
Because he has already laid down all the necessary, all the very, very, very basic foundations. You know, for any time he wants to come back, he would just come very easily, not even applying for a visa to the entry point, because he has already created a remote control. He has a receiver, he has an antenna, and everything, anything that he wants to send, he sends it through the antenna. So we have a problem. I'll tell you an example. Well, actually, one day I was just watching a guy, a very, very able Gambian. Well, he's a historian. He was just dilating from an historical perspective. I mean, how come the Gambia was administratively divided into as we are seeing? You know, when I watch him over the TV, I was very, very titillated. I was very happy to have such a big historical mind among the Gambians. But at the end of the day, what I wish for was never there. Because after telling us, I mean, the historical, a legacy, a very bad one for that matter, why these people just, if an example is Banjul, a very tiny colony, a very tiny, space of land. But look at it, because that was the center, that was the headquarters. It was only Banjul that they needed. You understand what I mean? They had to make everything about Banjul big in the eyes of any other person. They call it the urban area, the protectorate, or the protectorate. So this guy, when he elaborated about the reasons why administratively the Gambia was divided, but I was longing, I was anticipating for him to say, look, this was based on a colonial understanding of ruling us. Now I want to advise the current, those in power, to demolish the structures that were put in place by the colonials, because it is still serving their interests. Let us put a Gambian administrative structure. You get what I mean? If I were in the position, I would just match Banjul and KMC and make it one municipality. It's very simple. It saves money and time. Yeah, but some people, well, this is just example. I'm not throwing any political I'm just giving an example.
Well, because so, we are diagnosing
exactly. In fact, I'm just diagnosing the problem. you see how we are brainwashed, mm-hmm. how we are controlled. Mm-hmm. You see, my brother in class, an example is, mm-hmm. you know, when education and learning, mm-hmm. even in English, this term sound, they have different meanings. Education is a process that is continuous to the grave. Mm-hmm. It is a process of developing, mm-hmm. I mean, to a higher progressive positive level, mm-hmm. the behavioral pattern of an individual, mm-hmm. the moral values of an individual. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Here it has an internal aspect more than an external aspect. But unfortunately, there is a confusion. Mm-hmm. We learn from experience. Mm-hmm. We learn by example. Mm-hmm. And we are instructed to do things either we like it or we don't like it. Mm-hmm. Either under training, mm-hmm. or by stick or carrot. You give me a carrot, I eat it, mm-hmm. do it. Or you beat me to do it.
Subhanallah.
You see, this is instruction. But look, the problem is, let us look at the school, the curricula, the models of education, you know, the methodology. Imagine a teacher standing before pupils, small pupils, who actually are, these are the seminal, these are the basics, these are the basis, I mean, these are the primary materials needed to create, I mean, the greatest of the great people. Well, a teacher, well, woman, the woman might say, look, you are just accusing the woman, but the men are there as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me take the woman, then I'll take the men. Mm-hmm. I mean, a woman, a girl or a woman, I mean, name it whatever you want, but a teacher, mm-hmm. standing before pupils, but the hair on her head is not hers. The color on her body is not hers.
All borrowed.
Everything is, the nail on her fingernails is not hers. Mm-hmm. Everything, the eyebrows is not hers.
Sky.
Everything is borrowed.
Sky.
A completely demi, not even, I will call it human, but a demi-human being. Because everything about you is borrowed. And you are now standing before a very, very sensitive, a very receptive being called a pupil, a child.
Receiving.
And you are teaching him 1 + 1, 2 + 2, 1 + 1. Materially, but you don't know that that child is looking at you as a role model. Tomorrow, the most beautiful thing in her impression in her mind is a teacher wearing a wig, a teacher bleach her skin, a teacher with an artificial nail, a teacher with a fogajai, for that matter.
What about a dress?
That's the fogajai, because every dress that is not, I mean, that is not, I mean, that is against your cultural values is fogajai. Because fogaja is something, is already
foreign.
Foreign, or completely foreign. Because, you see, my brother, look at it. I'll give an example. What is happening now? Mm-hmm. Girls just peaching their own skin. They say they're imitating the Indian culture. Do you know why Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created your nose flat as an African? Go and redo research. Ask the people. Don't be a fool, a donkey. You're living in the tropics. Your nose need to be flattened.
It is.
For you to get enough oxygen through your nose and to avoid many other things, I mean, contact with viruses, with disease through the air, the vector, for you to live, for you to exist as Allah's being on this earth. Where do you imitate people? So, because the education there is material, we are educated. For the society to say that we are educated, for me to be assigned and given a position, and that position entails a lot of material money.
So accumulation
of material knowledge, it will never change your behavioral pattern,
because
it has no basis. This is why Suratul Iqra, it says, "Kalla innal insana la yataga an ra'ahu istaghna." Independence. You don't. There is no Allah. I strive. I acquired education by my own effort, so, and I am the director.
There is no rule.
There is no rule. I am not bound by any rule. I'm gonna do whatever, I mean, pleases me. Whatever is in my interest. You know, you're treading on dead bodies of innocent people to get your interest at the end of the day. Because Allah is not in the framework, in the equation.
Like Karun say.
Like that Karun say, innama utituhu ala min indi. You see, understand? So here, innal insana la yadra, an ra'ahu istaghna. When he perceives himself as independent of Allah's will. Look at it. Ara'aita alladhi, this is the very insan we are now saying. If an insan is not answerable to any force, to any power, Because a policeman, a commission of inquiry, mm-hmm. they would not sit, I mean, over you 24 hours investigating what you do, what you didn't do. You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. If man has no term of reference, if he harbors no fear against any visible or invisible being, mm-hmm. obviously, very few people can just pass this examination, this challenge, mm-hmm. this trial. Mm-hmm. Whatever 99% would try to do, what is evil, what is bad, what is contradictory to even the nature of the position they are manning or administering. So we have a problem when we say inferiority complex. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is something on the other side called superiority complex. So if somebody say I am superior, he bases his superiority complex on concepts decadent, dead, with a very false, bad, false distortions. I mean, you accept that. And still now, you giving the Quran, any ummah giving the Quran, and that ummah is still unable to come out of the shell. That ummah is still unable to come out of hibernation, despite the change of environment. And that ummah is still in activation. I mean, that ummah is a dead ummah. Because I don't believe that an ummah can implement the Quran, understand the Quran and the Sunnah, and that ummah is stagnant as we are now. And may Allah help us. Uh-huh. But we have to kill that devil in the mind called inferiority complex. We have to go back as Muslims, as people, as human beings, to know that this world is everybody is equal here. It is a racetrack. You run faster, you get the reward. But when you run very slowly, people will just leave you behind. You know, the principle is move with time. When you stand, time will leave you behind. When you go faster than time, you are a dead person. Because only a dead person can go before time.
Yes.
Because Al-Qiyamah is not yet. But yes. People are dead, they are under the ground.
So they left the time behind.
Yeah, they left the time behind. But they are in the grave. And Al-Qiyamah is not yet.
Yes, it is.
Alhamdulillah.
Sheikh Hamajid, I think that one has been well dealt with. Why do we want to imitate?
Yeah, a big problem. A disease, a sickness, a pathological. I don't know.
You have dealt with that in a very, very strong way and fair manners.
Well, okay. A woman, I mean, to be very fair, to be just in this context.
Okay.
For men, a teacher standing in front of pupils, mm-hmm. you have a long, long, long cigarette smoking. Or you are startled by a student smoking ganja. Or you make a U-turn.
as a teacher.
Yeah, as a U-turn. Even mad people don't U-turn. But we see good people here making U-turn. You know, lowering their trousers. I don't know whether they want their legs to be bulky. Because they want to imitate a footballer whose legs are bulky. Or they want to dance the Tupac dance. Because you can't do it except your legs are bulky.
Indeed.
So, I mean, it is complete. I mean, I don't know. There is no definition in the dictionary that you give them, except to call them dead wood.
Because they have removed themselves.
Exactly.
Walakad karamna.
Bani Adam. And they have just, abused, violated this endowment.
Which been given.
Yeah, exactly. This valuable endowment. You abuse it, you violate it. And voluntarily for that matter, because of your deep-seated ignorance, your lack of interest in yourself, in your environment, in your deen, in your other brother. What you want is, oh man, it's just terrible, my brother. You see, my brother, if we wanna go on, simplistically, mm-hmm. trying to just what they call it, surgical precision, mm-hmm. and trying to explain mm-hmm. the psychological arrangements, mm-hmm. you know, the bombs. Mm-hmm. The bullets that are prepared, mm-hmm. that are set to be fired against us, mm-hmm. in terms of this mental programming, mm-hmm. if you are not careful, mm-hmm. you lose all hope that we have no future in this world, mm-hmm. and our hope could eventually be hopeless. So I think it is a duty upon everybody, mm-hmm. anybody who has the ability, mm-hmm. to realize, to distinguish, mm-hmm. and to understand, and to do something. And let us just stop always throwing the blame against the other person. The evil, the devil is within ourselves. Kill the devil in you, and no devil will follow you. I think that's the best.
Kill the devil
within your mind, within yourself, and all the devils will just fly away.
So the problem is in fact
the problem is within, it's not without,
because without get support
this is another strategy, this is another ploy they set for us. You know, you are always looking for an invisible enemy outside, an enemy that is not existent because it's imaginary in your mind. You will spend all your time looking for that enemy while the real one is within you.
Then it will turn to be a paranoia.
A paranoia, an obsession, a sick person, a dead person. That's it.
So
I think we need to do something. Mm-hmm. We need to re-educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. Know that education leads to good behavior. Mm-hmm. Education, in fact, it removes the rawness in you. In fact, mandin kuliya fa nyamale. Karao. Ni alonda kanjo na tata fa karonta ni atwa ka domono. Bari kanja karonde mo ka domono ba. Foni aja. So karao nyanta karongo le bole bala. So this is the simple philosophy that we need to do. I mean, all the bad things that I used to do before, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides me to see the light and understand the true meaning of education as an instrument of change internally and externally, because whenever the internal aspect is changed, I mean, you just feel it very simply with the external dealings.
Sheikh Hamme, I know the time we miss, we are almost getting that one back, we already did. Maybe I will start asking this next week, by the Allah willing, we will deal with that one. You have deal with a different variety of symptoms. They are no more even a symptom, diseases. Yeah. Diagnostic them, start some treatment. But there are ones too I have in mind. We did suffer. I did mention you dealt with, which is inferiority complex. People divide themselves into two. Some are trying very hard to come out of that. Want to be with themselves now and start thinking way forward. There are ones who are in between. There are ones who are already continue imitating. But I see another symptom. People are desperately want to be noticed. You know, even the others we are talking about, among the greatest who changed their society, because they didn't change us. Our societies are in a mess because of those. But those people who change their societies, after when they have gone, they start being noticed. Because even though they are not Muslims, but the great discoveries they have really bring about their society. They did these things anonymously. They are not looking to be noticed. Mm-hmm. What we tend to be now is one of our diseases,
yeah.
Especially what I call Gambian syndrome.
Yeah, a very apt,
every single places, yeah. A small place, they want to be noticed, exactly. Even though he has not even deserved to be noticed.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is one of our diseases as well.
Exactly.
You can touch on it.
Yeah.
We will deal with it as we can.
Exactly. Well, actually, I think the answer is already provided. You see, Muslims, as Muslims, because in fact the topic, the entire discussion is on at three levels. As a Muslim from the Islamic perspective. As a Gambian from the Gambian perspective. As an African from the African perspective. And the greater umbrella is the humanity. Human perspective. You see, this deen has no discrimination. This deen is for everybody. And our duty is to call people, to conscientize people, to give them the real stuff that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, even if it is an iota, a small piece of it. Give it, share with your brother. Try to call people to the way. You see, but that way, you can only call people to the way if that way is an embodiment of yourself. That's another problem here. I mean, that's what you're touching at. We have to embody the idea.
First.
For people to come over, What without that, well, we have no right to call people. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is going to direct people to his right course. Yahdi man yasha ila surat. Ila surat al-mustaqim. So here, when we look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you in the Quran, you know, if you anticipate, if you are expecting, you know, your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judgment day, to meet your good judgment on judgment day, it is better for you to just follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walakum fi rasulillah uswatun hasana liman kana yarju Allah wal yawm al akhir. Yawm al qiyamah wal yawm al akhir. So here, look at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, when he was commissioned to deliver the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, after 23 years of struggle, I mean, the most, I mean, what they call it, hunting challenges, you know, highly daunting challenges, I mean, beyond human power, you know, to take those challenges. But with that determination, perseverance, with that selection, that choice, that guidance, that divine providence guiding him, he was within a course of 23 years able to establish the nation. But look at the people, the companions. After Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went, when he was called by his Lord, he answered, I mean, what is said for everybody. This is a law, an axiomatic law that everybody has to go through that. You know, look at it. Look at the Sahabas. Look at the companions. Because that idea that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought was subjected, scrutinized, put to the test, and it was established beyond all doubt that it is irrefutable. Nobody can bulldoze it. It was accepted voluntarily based on a very, very constructive proofs. When he was gone, you know, his absence was felt as an individual, but it seemed as if that was the very day that the revelation started coming down.
Determination.
With that favor, that determination, that courage, that sincerity, you know, the Sahabi, the companions, they carry the mantle, the idea, until we are here today in the Gambia talking on his behalf. Subhanallah. Look at that. So the problem is, whatever you are claiming to be, whatever thing you say you are, please try to demonstrate and manifest that pattern in your life. Very simple. Interpret the ideology and make it into a practical, give it a practical meaning.
So what you are saying, the action should be louder than
The word. But look, even in Islam now, what is the problem? We are now making Islam into an acrobatic arena.
Slogan?
Not a slogan. Because when you go to a zoo, or you go to a, what do you call it, acrobatic occasion, you see people doing different actions. You are overawed. You see how these people can do this. To you it becomes a magic, but it's really true practice. In fact, our Islamic dispensation is reduced, if we are not careful, it's reduced to what is called
ceremonial,
not ceremonial even, but to that unending, that empty, that dead, intellectual, unnecessary, exhaustive, resource, dilapidating intellectual disputes. He knows, he does not know. He's a jahil, he's an erudite person. He's on the right track, he's on the bid'ah track. We have. You see, all because what? The person, the enemy that is fighting you, the enemy within, is just causing your deviation. Because you have killed all the imagine all the imagined enemies to you. You the Muslim, you have killed all the imagined enemies, not knowing that the real enemy is still within. Because you are being remote controlled. Whatever a channel is tuned for you, you jump to the tune. The only way out of this quagmire, the only way out of this labyrinth, is to go to the Quran, is to implement the Sunnah, is to know who am I. Why am I? Where am I? With the enlightened mind. With that wasatiyah. That mean.
Middle path.
middle part of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only that we can get out of this problem.
Sheikh Hamid Yete, I think that is the very good and very sound position to stop tonight. I did ask, but I think I have definitely get what I have really asked for. In that point, I'm trying to digest all what has been said here. I hope and pray the greater listeners out there digest it, practicing it, even the letter by letter. That's what has made those people who we are really keep talking about them, a great people. They took their time and digest these things, and step by step, they became unimaginable forces which no nation will be able to match them in development, intellectually, what you call productively, at every aspect of their life, they became successfully. We do not want to, for our position, to be only keeping talking about those people when we are not producing what others are going to talking about us when we have gone. In that point, we are saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بني الإسلام على خمسة أركان في الدين: صوم وصلاة وزكاة حج والشهادتين. شهادة أن لا إله
ذهب الذي